Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 214. Tipitaka part 138, and we're doing Mahavagga 1 part 9. In the previous episode, Buddhist Books 213, spontaneously, as I like to do them, I decided to do a movie reaction. So if you missed that, feel free to click here and you can watch Zen, the 2009 Japanese movie with English subtitles, along with me. And yeah, it was fun. And of course, tomorrow we're going to begin diving into Shingon Buddhism, which is Japanese Vajrayana. So this week is a bit more Japanese than usual, but fear not, on episode 220, we will of course be getting back into the life and liberation of Padmasambhava. And as for today, I haven't even been pointing to these things up here, but we don't need them today. Yes, we're back in old Bihar, long time before it was called Bihar. With Lord Buddha in, I think he's still in Rajgir, actually, Rajagaha, and establishing the original rules of the original order. So let's get to it. If you would like to start at the beginning of the Tipitaka, at the beginning of this book here, with the rules for monks and the rules for nuns, you can click right there. If you would like to start at the beginning of Mahavagga 1, which begins just immediately after Lord Buddha has attained enlightenment and covers his, you know, struggling with the idea of whether or not it's even worth trying to teach others and, you know, deciding to, of course, eventually. And now has gotten to the point where it's, you know, basically establishing the rules for how the order is going to run in general. If you'd like to start at the beginning of Mahavagga, go ahead and click there. And without further ado, I will get to today's recital. I hope everyone's doing well. This is in quotes, so we can assume it's Lord Buddha speaking. The teacher, monks, should conduct himself properly towards his pupil. This is the proper conduct in this respect. The pupil should be furthered. He should be helped by the teacher. Three dots. Basically, the rest of this. Now we're into the translator deciding rather than repeat something very similar to what's been said before. They're just going to tell you that this is all the same as, it says, reading teacher and pupil for preceptor and one who shares a cell. Okay. So it's all the same stuff as the one who shares the cell toward the preceptor, except you say teacher instead of preceptor. Okay. Three dots. If the pupil becomes ill, he should tend him as long as life lasts. He should wait until he recovers, end quote. So that's the end of that section, which is actually pretty long, but on account of the little trick of the translator, it's very short. What is due to a pupil? The sixth portion for repeating. So if you were a Theravadan monk, then you would have said all that out loud. Okay. Now at that time, pupils did not conduct themselves properly towards their teachers. Three dots, parentheses. This is all the same as earlier. Reading teacher and pupil as above. Okay. This is obnoxious. And parentheses, three dots. In not diminishing him, he does not become one who has gone too far. End quote. Right. I think we're actually going to get to something that's not going to be a copy-paste of something from a previous episode. That's good. Now at that time, ignorant, inexperienced monks gave guidance, thinking, quote, we are of 10 years standing. We are of 10 years standing. end quote, parentheses, so that, end parentheses, there were to be found ignorant teachers, wise pupils, inexperienced teachers, experienced pupils, teachers who had heard little, pupils who had heard much, teachers of poor intelligence, intelligent pupils. Those who were modest monks, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, how can these ignorant, inexperienced monks give guidance, thinking, quote, within quotes, we are of 10 years standing, we are of 10 years standing, end quote, within quotes, parentheses, so that, end parentheses. There are to be found ignorant teachers, three dots, intelligent pupils, end quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true, as is said, monks, that ignorant, inexperienced, parentheses, monks, end parentheses, are giving guidance, thinking, quote, within quotes, we are of 10 years standing, we are of 10 years standing, end quote, within quotes, end quote. Quote, it is true, Lord, end quote. The Enlightened One, the Lord, rebuked them. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, one who is ignorant, inexperienced, should not give guidance. Whoever, parentheses, such, end parentheses, should give it, there is an offense of wrongdoing. I allow you, monks, to give guidance through an experienced, competent monk who is of 10 years standing, or of more than 10 years standing, end quote. So it's not enough that you be of 10 years standing, you must also be a good teacher, basically. Now at that time, monks, when their teachers and preceptors had gone away and had left the order and had died and had gone over to another side, parentheses, of the order, end parentheses, a very curious statement that, it did not know about nullifications of guidance. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, there are these five nullifications of guidance from a preceptor. When a preceptor has gone away or left the order or died or gone over to another side, parentheses, of the order, end parentheses, and command is the fifth. These, monks, are the five nullifications of guidance from a preceptor. Monks, there are these six nullifications of guidance from a teacher. When a teacher has gone away or left the order or died or gone over to another side, parentheses, of the order, end parentheses, and command is the fifth. Or if he has come to be connected with a preceptor. These, monks, are the six nullifications of guidance from a teacher. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. If he is not possessed of an adept's body of moral habit, three dots. Body of concentration, three dots. Body of wisdom, three dots. Body of freedom, three dots. Body of vision and knowledge of freedom. Monks, if a monk is not possessed of these five qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. I think that in that case, where the three dots were, it repeats the first part. So if he is not possessed of an adept's body of moral habit, if he is not possessed of a body of concentration, if he is not possessed of a body of wisdom, if he is not possessed of a body of freedom, if he is not possessed of a body of vision and knowledge of freedom. Okay. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, he may ordain, he may give guidance, a novice may attend him. If he is possessed of an adept's body of moral habit, three dots, body of vision, and knowledge of freedom. Okay, those same five. If he has all five, he can teach. If he's missing one of the five, he can't teach. Monks. If a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he may ordain. Ordain, right? And give guidance. He may give guidance. A novice may attend him. But he can't ordain unless there are 10 monks present, at least. Remember from earlier. And monks. If a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. If he is neither himself possessed of an adept's body of moral habit, nor encourages another as to an adept's body of moral habit, three dots. If he is neither himself possessed of an adept's body of vision and knowledge of freedom, nor encourages another as to an adept's body of vision and knowledge of freedom. Monks. If a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he should not ordain him. He should not give him guidance. A novice should not attend him. So if he's lacking any of these five qualities, or has the negative of these same five qualities, he should not give guidance. He should not ordain. Okay. I guess maybe in 6th century BC, that wasn't considered redundant. Okay. Monks. If a monk is possessed of five qualities, three dots, a novice may attend him. If he is himself possessed of an adept's body of moral habit and encourages another as to an adept's body of moral habit, three dots. If he is himself possessed of an adept's body of vision and knowledge of freedom, and encourages another as to an adept's body of vision and knowledge of freedom. Monks, if a novice is possessed of these five qualities, he may ordain. Three dots, a novice may attend him. And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain. Three dots, a novice should not attend him. If he comes to be lacking in faith, if he comes to be without shame, if he comes to be reckless, if he comes to be lazy, if he comes to be of muddled mindfulness, monks. If a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he should not ordain, three dots, a novice should not attend him. I will go on record here as to say I should not ordain, I should not give guidance. All I'm intending to do here is read the scriptures so that you can hear them. Don't mistake me for someone who's giving guidance or ordaining. Just putting that out there. I've said it before, but it's actually been a while since I've said that, so I'm saying it again. Monks. If a monk is possessed of five qualities, he may ordain. Three dots. A novice may attend him. If he comes to have faith, if he comes to feel shame, if he comes to be cautious, if he comes to be of stirred up energy, if he comes to be of ready mindfulness. Monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he may ordain. Three dots. A novice may attend him. And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain. Three dots. A novice should not attend him. If in regard to moral habit, he comes to have fallen away from moral habit. If in regard to good habits, he comes to have fallen away from good habits. If in regard to (right) and (view), he comes to have fallen away from (right) and (view), if he comes to have heard little, if he comes to be of poor intelligence. Monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he should not ordain. Three dots. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, he may ordain. Three dots. A novice may attend him. If in regard to moral habit, he does not come to have fallen away from moral habit. If in regard to good habits, he does not come to have fallen away from good habits. If in regard to (right) and (view), he does not come to have fallen away from (right) and (view). If he comes to have heard much, if he comes to be intelligent, monks. If a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he may ordain. Three dots, a novice may attend him. And monks. If a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain. Three dots, a novice should not attend him. If he is not competent to tend or to get, parentheses, another, end parentheses, to tend, a pupil or one who shares a cell and who is ill, to allay or get, parentheses, another, end parentheses, to allay dissatisfaction that has arisen, to dispel or get, parentheses, another, end parentheses, to dispel by means of dhamma, remorse that has arisen, if he does not know what is an offense, if he does not know the removal of an offense, monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, three dots, a monk should not attend, a novice should not attend him. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, three dots, a novice may attend him. And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain, three dots, a novice should not attend him. If he is not competent to make a pupil or one who shares a cell train in the training regarding the fundamentals of conduct, to lead him in the training regarding the fundamentals of the Brahmaferring, to lead him in what pertains to Dhamma, to lead him in what pertains to discipline, to discuss or get, parentheses, another, end parentheses, to discuss by means of Dhamma, a false view that has arisen. Monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, three dots, a monk should not attend him. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, three dots, a novice may attend him. And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, three dots, a novice should not attend him. If he does not know what is an offense, if he does not know what is not an offense, if he does not know what is a slight offense, if he does not know what is a serious offense, if the two patimokkhas in full are not properly handed down to him, not properly classified, not properly intoned, not properly divided by rule and in respect of the explanation, monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, three dots, a novice should not attend him. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, three dots, a novice may attend him. I think in those three dots, it's the positive, the inverse of the previous. Right. So if he can intone the patimokkhas, etc. And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. If he does not know what is an offense, if he does not know what is not an offense, if he does not know what is a slight offense, if he does not know what is a serious offense, if he is of less than 10 years standing, monks, if a monk is possessed of these five qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A novice should not attend him. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, he may ordain. He may give guidance. A novice may attend him. If he knows what is an offense, if he knows what is not an offense, if he knows what is a slight offense, if he knows what is a serious offense, if he is of 10 years standing, or of more than 10 years standing. End quote. Told is the portion of 16 times 5 parentheses cases, end parentheses, when one may ordain. Okay. Quote, monks, if a monk is possessed of 6 qualities, he should not ordain. He should not give guidance. A monk should not attend him, end quote. Told is the portion of 16 times 6 parentheses cases and parentheses when one may ordain. Well, that's a little unclear. I mean, I guess both are told. It's really not clear what's going on there. Okay. Now, at that time, the one who had formerly been a member of a nether sect, when he was being spoken to by his preceptor regarding a rule, having refuted the preceptor, went over to the fold of that same sect, parentheses, as before, end parentheses. But having come back again, he asked the monks for ordination. The monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, monks, he who was formerly a member of another sect, redots, having refuted the preceptor and having gone and going over to the fold of that same sect, parentheses, as before, end parentheses, on coming back should not be ordained. But, monks, whoever else was formerly a member of another sect and desires the going forth in this Dhamma and discipline and desires ordination, to him you should grant probation for 4 months. Okay. So if somebody was a Jainist and they're like, you know what, I think you got the stuff, and they don't, then put them on probation for 4 months. But if somebody was a Jainist and then they were like, okay, I want to be a Buddhist. Oh, no, I'm going to be a Jainist. Oh, no, I'm going to be a Buddhist. At that point, you're like, no. Okay, stop. Don't do this anymore. Ping pong monk. Something like that, right? Or Ajivika, or whatever, one of the other 60-some-odd Shramana sects, I assume, is what he's talking about. And thus, monks, should it be granted, first, having made him have his hair and beard cut off, having got, parentheses, someone, end parentheses, to present him with yellow robes, having made him arrange his upper robes over one shoulder, having made him honor the monk's feet, having made him sit down on his haunches, having made him salute with joined palms, he should be told, one moment please, I'm going to turn on the air conditioning. No, that's not from the scriptures. That's me talking right now. And I'm sorry for the noise pollution. It's a bit warm in Goa today. Okay. Yes. He should be told, quote within quotes, speak thus, quotes within quotes within quotes. I go to the Enlightened One for refuge. I go to Dhamma for refuge. I go to the Order for refuge. And a second time, I go, three dots. And a third time, I go, three dots, to the Order for refuge. And quotes within quotes within quotes, and quotes within quotes, continuing within the quotes. Monks, if he who was formerly a member of another sect has approached the order, three dots, has saluted with joined palms, he should speak thus to it, quotes within quotes, I, honored sirs, so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect, desire ordination in this Dhamma and discipline. Therefore do I, honored sirs, ask the order for probation for 4 months. And a second time he should ask, and a third time he should ask. Oh, there's an end quote within quotes. That makes sense. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This one, so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect, desires ordination in this Dhamma and discipline. He asks the order for probation for 4 months. If it seems right to the order may grant probation to so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect, for 4 months. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This one so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect, desires ordination in this Dhamma and discipline. He asks the order for probation for 4 months. The order is granting probation for 4 months to so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect. If the granting of probation for 4 months to so-and-so, formerly a member of another sect, is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. Probation for 4 months is granted by the order to so-and-so, formerly another member of another sect. It is pleasing for the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes, continuing within the quotes. still Lord Buddha explaining how this is all going to work. Monks. A former member of another sect becomes one who succeeds thus, one who fails thus. And how, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who fails? Herein, monks, a former member of another sect enters a village at too early a time. He returns too late in the day. Thus, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who fails? And again, monks, a former member of another sect becomes one whose resort for alms, in parentheses, is among prostitutes. Or he comes to be one whose resort, parentheses, for alms, and parentheses, is among widows. I'm a little curious. Once you're a monk, can you go to prostitutes and widows for alms? Or is that just for people on probation for being in another sect? Because I do seem to recall the Venerable Udayin going to a certain widow. That didn't turn out well, though, so... never mind. Okay. Yes. Or he comes to be one whose resort, parentheses, for alms, and parentheses, is among grown girls. I believe you call those women, sir. Sorry. I'm not going to correct the Lord about that. He can't hear me anyway. Or maybe he can. Sorry. Okay, or he comes to be one whose resort, parentheses, for alms, and parentheses, is among eunuchs. I mean, it kind of depends on what the monk is into, right? It shouldn't be among the thing he's into. Sorry. Or he comes to be one whose resort, parentheses, for alms, and parentheses, is among nuns. Well, yeah, going to the nuns for alms is a little tacky. They're going for alms. Go to... okay. Thus, too, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who fails? Okay. And again, monks, a former member of another sect in regard to those various things which have to be done by his fellows in the Brahmafaring comes to be not dexterous therein, not vigorous, not possessed of consideration for those kinds of things, not able to act himself, not able to direct, parentheses, others, end parentheses. Thus, too, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who fails? And again, monks, a former member of another sect comes to be one who is not of keen desire as to the recitation, as to the interrogation, as to the high morality, the higher thought, the higher wisdom. Thus, too, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who fails? Just want to take a moment to look. So, not dexterous therein within the things that are done by the Brahmafaring. So that's just sort of in general. Not able to act himself, not able to direct others. Okay. That's... And again, monks, a former member of another sect becomes angry, displeased, dissatisfied if dispraise is being spoken of the teacher. The views, the approval, the persuasion, the creed of that fold of a sect from which he has come over. Oh, if he gets upset when monks speak badly about the other sect that he came from, then he fails. All right, fair enough. I mean, I guess you could kind of liken that, you know, if somebody is converting from, oh, I don't know, Catholicism to Judaism, and they go to the synagogue, and afterward people are talking, and they're like, yeah, those Catholics. And it's like, hey, now, wait a minute, you know, then, well, he'd probably still be accepted as a Jewish convert in that context. It's different from being a monk. Never mind. A different century. Whole different thing. Just ignore me. Okay. Where were we? Or else he becomes pleased, elated, satisfied, if praise is being spoken of the teacher, the views, the approval, the persuasion, the creed of that fold of a sect from which he has come over. Okay. So he fails either way. If he doesn't like criticism of his former sect, or if he too much likes praise of his former sect. Mm-hmm. This is pretty strict and subjective, I'd say. He becomes angry, displeased, dissatisfied if praise is being spoken of the awakened one or Dhamma of the order. Thus, monks, is the knitting together in regard to what may be the failure of a former member of another sect. It is thus, monks, that a former member of another sect becomes one who fails. Therefore, monks, if there come a former member of another sect who has failed, he should not be ordained. And how, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who succeeds? Herein, monks, a former member of another sect does not enter a village at too early a time. He does not return too late in the day. Thus, monks, does a former member of another sect become one who succeeds? And again, monks, three dots, point by point, the contrary of everything that, how he fails. Right. I mean, okay, I figured it was going to be that. End parentheses. That's the translator saying, I don't feel like translating all this. You get it, right? Thank you, Miss Horner. Or Mrs. I don't know if she was married. Okay. Thus, this, monks, is the knitting together in regard to what may be the success of a former member of another sect. It is thus, monks, that a former member of another sect becomes one who succeeds. Therefore, monks, if there come a former member of another sect who has succeeded, he may be ordained. If, monks, a former member of another sect comes naked, a robe belonging to a preceptor should be looked after, looked about for. Okay, that's not, doesn't disqualify you because there are naked sects. The Jainists back then, for instance, at least Mahavir, who's famously naked, their leader, so it wouldn't have been uncommon. Someone shows up, I'm interested in being a part of your Dhamma, and they're naked. Just get him a robe. Don't be like, get out of here, naked boy. It was a different time. Probably these days, well, I don't know. Never mind. These days, there'd be other concerns, like, how did you get here without getting arrested? Even Jainists wear clothes these days. Never mind, I'm sorry. If he comes without the hair of his head cut off, the order should be asked for permission for shaving it close. Monks, if those come who are fire-worshipping, matted hair ascetics, they may be ordained. Probation should not be given to these. That's interesting. That's really interesting. Because they're not considered from another sect. They're not from a different ascetic or Shramana sect. They are, in fact, Brahmins. Right? That's interesting. Very interesting. If they want to be ordained, ordain them. They already know all the stuff. They've just decided. Very interesting. I learned something today, I have to say. Okay. What is the reason for this? Okay, yeah. I'm interested. I'd like to hear this. These monks affirm deeds. They affirm what ought to be done. If, monks, there come a former member of another sect who is Sakyan by birth, he may be ordained. Probation should not be given to him. Huh! All right, well, that's just nepotism there, because Lord Buddha was a Sakyan. As in Shakyamuni Buddha, right? Interesting, all right. I, monks, will give this special privilege to, parentheses, my, end parentheses, relations. End quote. And they were upfront about it. These days you got videos about nepo babies and stuff like that. And they want to try to be like, well, I don't want to give special privilege just because she's the daughter of the producer of all the movies. She still has to audition for the role. She's probably going to get it, but she earned it. But she's a terrible actress. No, it's really subtle. You just have to be... Nope, he was just like, yeah, if you're a cousin of mine, no need for probation. Okay. The talk on former members of another sect. The seventh portion for repeating. This was fun, especially toward the end. I mean, it was like the general gist of it was a little dull and, you know, sometimes repetitive, but... That last little bit there was really interesting. So if you're from another sect, like Jainism or Ajivika or one of the other 60 Shramana sects that were popular in that area at the time, if you have a guru and you have a practice, something like meditation and, you know, this kind of thing, trying to attain enlightenment, getting out of the wheel of samsara, in one way or another, other than Lord Buddha's teachings, then you go on probation for 4 months. But if you're a matted hair ascetic who worships fire or Indra, right? Then, and you want to join, yeah, just shave his head. He's a monk. And if you're like, yeah, that guy, the head of the order, you know him as Lord Buddha. He's my cousin. Ah! No waiting period for you. This has, once again, been fun for me. I hope it was fun for you. And I'm going to go ahead and get to the closing and wish you all the best. And keep an eye on this channel, because the next episode is going to be our first episode where we talk about Shingon Buddhism. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.